Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. Stories for Dark and Stormy Nights, Volume 3, Story 1. After my dad passed when I was 8, I saw his spirit exactly once. I looked up from reading a book, and there was an outline of him, sort of like a shadow, but in a brightly lit room. I could not see his features, but his outline was unmistakable. I hadn't seen a ghost before, so I was scared. Plus, I was just a kid. I said to him, "Go away, you're scaring me." It disappeared on the spot, and I never saw it again. We did have issues in that house afterward, but nothing bad. My stepdad experienced most of it. I was afraid of the dark as a child, so when I'd get up for a drink at night, I'd leave the lights on. My stepdad would joke you could always tell what I did at night by the trail of lights I left on. He said he went one time to turn a light on, and he flipped a switch and nothing happened. He flipped it again and again and nothing. I walked past a minute later and flipped a switch and it came on. He also had a story about laying in bed one time and it felt like something really cold sat down on him. He said, "Would you please move?" And the feeling went away. My mom tells of a story where we left the house one day with the clothes dryer running. When we got home, there was the faint smell of smoke and the dryer door was open. She closed the door and turned the dryer back on, and it started to smoke. Something had opened the dryer door to keep the house from burning down. We all assumed it was the spirit of my dad. There really wasn't any other explanation. Story number 2. I have a couple of good stories. The first involves something that happened to me in Afghanistan. My squad was on a night OP, which is observation post, watching a valley for Taliban movement. We were shorthanded, so each of us took a hilltop with a radio operator and squad leader, staying back by the truck. This was a nearly everyday thing. Nothing unusual, not an unusual hostile area. I was not asleep deprived, really scared, or in any other way prone to seeing or hearing things. But it was about 2 in the morning or so. I had been on this hilltop for maybe an hour when I heard not 10 or 20 feet from me what I can only describe as a whole lot of wolves howling. Wolves are not found in that area, but it sounded like there were 5 or 6 of them all around me, just howling away at the moon. I was 100 to 200 meters away from anyone else and just about jumped out of my skin. Your average infantryman, and especially paratrooper, is not armed with anything but their rifle. Unless you carry your own privately owned, you don't have a pistol, and hardly anyone carries big combat knives anymore. In fact, you're kind of thought as a loon if you do, especially in the airborne, where they are considered unsafe for parachuting. So these wolves, or whatever they were, are howling right next to me, in the pitch black. I can't shoot my weapon for fear I'm hallucinating or something and don't want to look crazy. This went on probably 30 seconds or so, long enough to scare the bejesus out of me. My honest thought was the night was playing with my head and I was hallucinating. Later, when I told my buddies about it, they said they heard the same thing coming from my position, but I didn't say anything on my radio, so they didn't think anything about it. I asked some local Afghan guys I was good friends with, real woodsman types, and they said they had never heard of anything like it, or really of anything strange in those hills. Story number 3. This next story happened in the Wawari National Forest in North Carolina. My dad, my best friend, and myself decided to turn a local Saturday morning fishing trip into a weekend trip, and on Saturday night we were asleep, maybe around 2 or 3 in the morning, when we woke up hearing the screeching coming from the north of our campsite. Now, let me give you some background on my dad. He is about the most level-headed guy I know, a Vietnam vet who managed to get back to a very normal life, an extremely experienced outdoorsman, and generally considered by everyone to be the last person to be paranoid, jump to conclusions, get scared unnecessarily, and especially to show that to others. He grew up in this area, as did his ancestors for the last 225 years, and he is about as native to the southeastern woods as you can get. So, we hear this screech, and it sounds like nothing I have ever heard before. coming from directly north of our campsite. The closest thing I can describe it would be honestly something very large being killed, like a big cat, a mountain lion being killed maybe. It was totally unlike anything I've ever heard before. I know this forest like my own backyard, and I know what direction it was from. About 5 minutes later, we heard the exact same sound coming from the direct south. Then very soon after, we heard it from the north again, and then the east. It was almost like whatever it was, there were several, and they were calling to each other. This went on maybe 20 minutes and then stopped. We were all a little freaked out, but my friend and I were young, maybe 14 or 15, and we forgot about it soon. Went to sleep. The next morning, my dad was visibly shaken up. I seen him go through some hairy stuff, and the only other times I have seen him this shaken up was when my mom got diagnosed with cancer, which she fully recovered from, and when I came home from Afghanistan severely wounded, and he came to Walter Reed. We was, best words, nervous. I have no idea what we heard or why it shook him up so much. It was certainly strange, and I think I have a theory. I think it was local folks messing with us. We were from the general area, but not immediately local, and it is a very kind of standoffish area. I think some local folks had a few too many beers, saw the glow of a campfire in the woods, and went off to mess with some fishermen. We didn't have any weapons, really. Had some luck fishing. My dad called my mom on a gas station payphone to say we would stay for the night and fish the next day. I think my dad was so freaked out because that area has a reputation for being kind of rough. Lots of violent crimes. Very backwoodsy, and these days, which is 20 years or so later, has a really nasty reputation for meth labs. I think he was really worried about keeping me and my friends and him safe. Only reason I've thought of this was that this past Thanksgiving he brought it up. He still thinks about that night. Next story. I've been long distance backpacking, hiking, camping for most of my life, and I've had the creeps many times. But it's no big deal, just something you have to get over to hang out in the mud. Worst experience was having my tent and myself completely overrun with thousands of ants and losing most of my gear to said ants. Creepiest was seeing a central body mass, larger than a cow, cross the trail in front of me. I heard it moving across the trail and turned my headlamp on it, perhaps 35 yards away. Its head was obscured by the trees, and the back end was as well, but its center was larger than a barrel, the top of which was roughly 5 to 5.5 feet off the ground to the center of the back. The bottom of the torso was roughly 1 to 2 feet off the ground. When my light went on, it moved off into the darkness slowly, so I was able to vaguely see the rear end, but pretty tough to see much more than that. I've been told that it could have been a very large deer, a fat horse, a massive black bear. Did I mention I was hiking through South Carolina swamps in the middle of the night when this happened? Next story. My dad grew up in Leslie County, Kentucky, about 8 years ago. He wanted to go camping up in the holler where he lives as a boy. No one has lived there since the 60s, and there are no houses or cabins left. Even the road is mostly gone. We rode in on his four-wheeled ATV and set up camp in a clearing about 2 or 3 miles from the pavement. The clearing was from some recent strip mining or logging and was a great place to park the four-wheeler and pitch a tent. Plenty of good firewood, too. We spent the daylight hours shooting our guns or walking around. This was in January. It was pretty cold, and it got dark very early. Dad seemed nervous and restless all day, but I never asked him about it. Dad gets up early and goes to bed early, and by 6 or 7 p.m., he was in the tent asleep. I stayed up past 10 or so, tending the fire and listening to the water in the creek. About 6 in the morning, he woke me up. He had already packed up his stuff, ready to leave. I was not happy. I wanted to do some more exploring, but he insisted. I told him I wanted to at least eat first, but he told me we could go to the Dairy Queen in Hyden. After getting breakfast in town and back on the highway, he finally told me why we left. He said that not long after I went to bed, he saw a huge black shadow moving between the fire and the tent, and that he had sat there awake all night, holding his .38. Next story. Anyway, I have quite a few interesting stories when I was younger. First one is when I was about 9 or 10 years old. I remember walking outside from my church after Sunday evening Bible study and looking up to see a giant red ball of fire slowly blazing across the sky. My only reaction was to stand there paralyzed and stare at it as my heart pounded through my chest. After it passed behind the trees, I looked around to see if anyone else had seen it, and of course there wasn't a soul in sight to share the experience with. I immediately turned around and went back inside the church. And I'm pretty sure my face was white as a sheet because everyone asked me what was wrong. I didn't understand what had just happened, so I just said nothing. At the time, I didn't know that it was possible that it was a fireball or space debris burning up in the atmosphere. My next story. The house that I grew up in was tucked in about 13 acres of woods, 2 miles or so from a county jailhouse. And occasionally, inmates would break out and hide out in our woods. Everywhere else around the 13 acres was pretty well developed, so I'm not surprised they liked to hang out on our property. Luckily, my dad always kept a pack of dogs to scare off trespassers, coyotes, and other critters. On one occasion, my dad was practicing his fiddle in one of the rooms that used to be a screened-in porch, and he saw a man walk across the doorstep in front of a glass door. Naturally, he grabbed one of his guns and went outside and checked the perimeter, only to find nothing. On another occasion, I was standing outside saying goodbye to an old high school boyfriend when I saw movement out of the corner of my eye at the neighbor's house down the hill. The house was vacant at the time, and the motion light came on, so I sent the boyfriend home and ran inside to tell my dad. As usual, my dad grabbed his gun and went outside and followed somebody into the woods. He said he could hear the person creeping through the wild privet trying to slink away, so he fired a few warning shots into the air, and the person took off, thrashing through the bushes and was never seen or heard again. Next story. All I remember is that this is a holler that's located in Leslie County, Kentucky. Around 1939, 1940, before my grandfather met my grandmother, he was courting, his words, a girl way back up in the woods. His uncle, they were about the same age, was courting the girl's sister. They would stay up there until almost dark, and by the time they had walked halfway down the mountain, it was very dark. Something had been following for a while and could be heard making growling noises behind them, as well as stepping on sticks. As they walked in front of an old home site, the thing jumped on his uncle's back and held on. Lots of screaming, and in the darkness of the holler, he couldn't make out anything but a black blur on his uncle's back. The old home site had a paling fence. My grandfather pulled one of the slats off and beat the tar out of the thing until it screamed and let go of his uncle. His uncle was not hurt. The thing just held on to him and drooled some and left some minor scratches. He did say that it was furry and it smelled bad, and from the little he could tell in the dark was like a cat that walked on two legs. They took a revolver every trip after that. My grandfather has been gone since 99, so the stories he told me aren't as fresh in my mind anymore. He used to get scared and shaky just telling that story. He, along with other family in the area, had other encounters with whatever that critter was. Next story. Back in 1984, while deer hunting, me, my father, and three brothers were heading back into town. It was Sunday, and we had spent the weekend back in the Agua Fria Ranch area. We always called it Old Man Finch's place. We decided since it was almost dusk and the end of the hunting season, for us we would stop by an old cow pond that still had water in it. While heading towards the pond, one of my brothers wanted to be dropped off about 3/4 of a mile up the road to walk it and see if he could scare anything up. We were not there long when my brother, who we had dropped off, came running up to the truck exclaiming, "Did you see it?" It took us a minute to calm him down, and he told us that no sooner had we left him there and made it around a bend in the road that he saw basically a Bigfoot stand up from behind a stand of Palo Verdes, look at him, and cross the road in a hurry. We went back to the area, and sure enough, in one of the grooves in the road was a huge footprint. I started to follow them and made it about 20 yards out into the scrub when a feeling of dread came over me. All I could do was stand there and stare into the desert. Everyone there felt the same thing at the same time. My father yelled at me to get into the truck, that he was going to get the hell out of there. Now, as an adult, I've asked my brother several times if he had hoaxed us. He claims that he didn't, and I remember that feeling of staring into the desert was real. Dread and in every sense on alert, and I've never felt it since then. Next story. I've spent a lot of time in the woods since I was a kid and experienced a lot of things, some odd, some truly weird, and others that were down to earth but scary at the time. Last year, right around the beginning of summer, me and a friend loaded our gear on our four-wheelers and headed into the backcountry to do some riding and camping. After setting up our camp, we gathered firewood and did the normal stuff. It was awesome weather to be out in. Around about midnight, we decided to ride to an overlook about 5 miles away. The trail to it was a long, winding trail with lots of sharp turns, washed out areas, and thick with trees. Around 3 a.m., after sitting and watching the stars and talking, we decided to head back. Enjoying the night and the ride, I slowed down, let my friend get ahead of me, round a bend and out of sight. I rode along slow and easy when I heard something over the sound of the engine. Still to this day, I can't describe it. It was like a growl, but not. A loud growling wail? That's the closest I can come to it. Something that made the hair on the back of my neck stand up and my skin prickle. I looked off to the left into the darkness, trying to spot whatever it might be, and hit the brakes. Okay, yes, stupid horror movie move, I know, but I was armed and not really worried about it, at least at that moment. Well, as I hit the brakes, I see something large and dark move across the trail behind me in the wash of the brake light. It wasn't a bear, that I'm sure of. It was too tall and moved fast. For about a split second, I thought about finishing that stop and looking back. But this feeling of dread washed over me, and every fiber in my body was screaming at me to get out of there right then. I knew if I looked back, I wasn't going to like what was there. So instead, I hit the throttle and shot up to 65 down that trail, sliding around corners and rocking up the cuts. It was a wild ride and didn't slow down till I caught up with my friend. Whatever it was, he had heard it too. Rode back the next day and couldn't find any tracks or sign in the area. But there wasn't the usual turkey and deer tracks either. Who knows? I haven't heard or seen a thing along that trail since then. But there was something there that night. Next story. As a high school freshman living on Fort Leavenworth, my friends kept talking about this place in the woods called the Nike site and how cool it was. After I asked, they decided to bring me out there. After trekking up a heavily wooded and steep hill at the edge of the base, we crossed through a dilapidated chain link fence, and there it was. By it, I mean a crumbling and long abandoned one-story concrete building, a 30-foot-tall rusted observation tower with platform ringing around it and the parking lot. Nothing inherently creepy here. As soon as we crossed into the place, I got an intense, creepy feeling. My hair stood on end and felt like my guts were in a vice grip. I didn't know anything about the place, nor cared that we were trespassing, so it wasn't fear of being caught. It exceeded that anyways. Something was really weird about the place. The feeling got 10 times worse when we entered the building, especially when we started going into the rooms, which were pitch black. Someone turned on a flashlight, and the first thing I saw in one of the rooms was a very elaborate spray-painted image of a demon on the wall. I nearly died. The whole place was tagged, though. Anyways, after looking into it, the complex used to be called KC-80 and was a site for Nike missiles back in the Cold War. I talked to my friends about the weird sensation out there, and they voiced similar experiences. We would continue going there once in a while, and that disturbing feeling never went away when we were there. I'm not into ghosts or any of that stuff, or saying this is what it was, but that place gave that vibes a whole new meaning for me. Next story. This happened a few years ago. I took a motorcycle ride up the North Shore of Minnesota on a long weekend. The first day, I got a bit of a late start and decided to camp out in northern Wisconsin at a place I've been to plenty of times. The site I stayed at is 8 miles off paved roads on a rutted gravel fire road. It seldom gets visitors except on holiday weekends. I piloted my nearly 700-pound Goldwing down the gravel roads and arrived at camp near sunset. A quick foray into the brush for firewood, tent set up, minimal unpacking of the bike, and dinner was cooking. I opened the bottle of wine I'd brought along and enjoyed the familiar woods. After dinner and sundown, I relaxed by the fire and listened to a pack of wolves in the distance. We have many more wolves here in Wisconsin than the DNR will admit. Ask any hunter. A bit later on, I climbed into my fart sack, aka sleeping bag, for the night. I woke to the howl of wolves very close. It sounded like they were in the campground with me. I sat up in my bag, turned on my headlamp, and listened, all too aware that the only defense I had on me was my trusty and pathetically small old Swiss Army knife. I was all alone up there, and combined with the dark of night, I was getting a bit freaked out. I actually contemplated starting up my bike to scare off the critters and shine some light, but instead I just stayed very awake and alert inside my tent. Well, the wolves moved on, and I sort of got a bit of rest. At daybreak, I emerged from my tiny little one-man tent, tired, unrested, sore, and eager to just get back on the road. I packed up my gear, brushed my teeth, fired up my trusty aluminum steed, and gently motored off, my exhaust smoke kissing and blessing the road underneath me. Next story. Back in the summer of 1998, between junior and senior years, I went down to Roy Lake in northeast South Dakota with my buddy. We would always go out and drive around and smoke and sometimes drink a few beers, but this particular night we were completely sober. This night we decided to go to 6 Mile Lake. There was a little dock on the lake that we were sitting on and just talking and looking over the lake. Nice night, no clouds or anything. All of a sudden, I'm looking over the lake and this glowing golden figure of an Indian woman is walking over the top of the lake a couple of hundreds feet out from where we were at. As I'm looking at it, I ask Ryan, "Did you just see that?" And he says, "Yeah, what is that?" We had both seen this thing. It wasn't scary, but just weird. The next time we were down at the lake again, we took the boat out to the lake and there's absolutely nothing on this lake. No homes, no junk, nothing whatsoever. The closest farm was a couple of miles away, and because of the hills, you can't even see them. We would later take girls out there and just to go get them scared. We had some great times during those years, but I never forgot about this incident. Next story. Back in 2001, I was staying with a friend in Mitchell, Georgia. Her daddy owned a very large piece of land there just on the edge of town. I later found out that this was the site of the original town pre-Civil War. The town was moved to its current location. Anyway, one afternoon, her and I decided to go deer hunting out on the place. It's a great place to go hunting or hiking or just to go hang out. So we rode four-wheelers in and found a place for me to set up and hunt. She left and found her own place on the other side of the big pond on the place. She was to come by and get me on her way out at dark, as I didn't know my way around the area of that property. I sat there waiting for over an hour. It was well after dark. You could hardly see without a flashlight. I thought maybe she'd forgotten me and went on to the pond house. While I was sitting there in the dark, leaning against a huge tree, I started hearing what sounded like people talking, men and women and children laughing and playing. I started looking around as I was starting to get scared. I saw what I thought were people walking along an old road, no longer in use, that goes nowhere. They were all wearing period clothing. The men were carrying muzzle loaders. They were shadows I was seeing, but they were there, and I was ready to go get out of there. About 15 minutes later, my friend finally shows up to get me. I asked her if she saw what I had just seen. She told me no, but said that she had seen and heard things back there before. We got the heck out of there fast. I did some research and talked to a few of the older people in town and her daddy and found out that there's a couple of old cemeteries out there somewhere, but that no one has ever found them, but that they had never really looked for them either. I came home shortly afterward and did not get a chance to go back there and find some of those forgotten cemeteries. Next story. While on a short bike tour, I ended up between Duluth and Two Harbors, in the dark, unable to find a place to stealth camp in the land of no trespassing signs. At the time, I was pretty new to stealth camping and very nervous about being caught, so the roadside pullouts were out of the question. A man out fishing had early suggested I spend the night at a local storm-watching hangout, but I ended up in the wrong place. What I found was an unmarked, open gate leading down into some swampy woods. Something down there was giving me the creeps, but I couldn't pick out what it was. There were some rotted old structures and trash cars down there, but no signs of anyone having been around recently. I didn't like the feel of the place, but I didn't have many other options, so I dragged my bike a good distance in and set up my hammock. I've spent a lot of nights out in the woods, and short of a mouse in my sleeping bag, or an owl 10 feet over my tent, not much keeps me up. All the same, I couldn't sleep soundly. I was worried I'd leave something behind if I packed in the dark, so I laid awake in my hammock, waiting for the slightest light on the horizon. Finally, at 5 in the morning, I decided enough was enough, packed up, and peeled out. It wasn't until a ways down the road, watching the sun rise over Lake Superior, that I realized what was wrong. There were no noises, no raccoons after my food, no mice in the leaf litter, not so much as a cricket. When I had woken up, it was to complete silence. Aside from the junk cars and old signs of habitation, there was no sign of human visitation. There were so few places along this stretch of road, both hidden from view and accessible. A place like this should be full of cigarette butts and beer cans. Maybe my memory is flawed, or it seems even worse in hindsight. But if I were in the same situation again, I'd rather just bike through the night and sleep at a rest stop during the day. Next story. I'm a Michigander, and my family has some hunting property in Kalamazoo. Supposedly, there's no cougars in the Lower Peninsula, but a few people in the area have caught them on a camera before. Earlier this October, my dad and a few of his buddies were out early in the dark morning heading towards their sites. Each of the men returned to camp around the same time as they heard lots of racket in the trees around them, while also hearing loud growls from right behind them. When they returned to camp, they were all shocked to have heard the same thing. Another story happened to me, my mom, and brother in the summer of 2008. Our property backs up to the Cowhaven Trail, which goes over much of the southern end of Michigan and ends in South Haven along Lake Michigan. Most of it passes through pretty bare farmland, but one area has lots of abandoned buildings from the town of Mentha on the sides of the trail. One of them looks like an old train station. One is a creepy old tower, and there's a few barns and stuff too. One of my friend's dads grew up in the area, and it was around there that his dad and brother died in a chemical explosion. That's not the point of the story, but it added to the creepiness of being in the area. Anyways, the most striking ruin was a bit further up in the woods. It was made of gray, moss-covered brick, and areas of it had been imploded. The roof was gone, and all that remained were labyrinthine walls. As we walked along the trail, it was a pretty desolate area, except for bikers that periodically passed us, we heard what sounded like singing coming from behind the ruins' walls. Me and my brother marched through a bunch of high plants and sharp weeds when we caught wind of a horrible smell. And perhaps it was nerves. But we felt we were being watched, and my brother reported hearing voices. We both felt panicked at the same time and ran as fast as we could to get out of the brush and back on the trail. Vultures circled above us and almost seemed to be coming down on us. As to who or what was behind that wall, we never stayed to find out. Next story. I lived with a guy in a little apartment that was originally the downstairs of a house. The owners had converted the downstairs into two apartments and a laundry room with its own entrance. I don't know the history on the apartment or the house, but I know the apartment was haunted. My boyfriend that lived with me was normally a nice guy, but had a violent streak. I'll get to that in a minute. Anyway, I was sleeping one time when I distinctly heard my name pronounced a little wrong. Is Dina pronounced Dina? And the voice was saying, Dana, Dana, get up. You're going to be late for work. Now, come on. It wasn't a dream. I wouldn't mispronounce my own name. I often felt a spirit in the bedroom of that apartment. Only in the bedroom, but never saw it. My boyfriend didn't believe in ghosts and thought it was funny that I did. Until one night, he nearly killed me in a fit of rage. He got angry with me and shoved me back with his hand on my head until I was in a cross-legged position at his feet and kept pushing until I could actually feel the muscles in the back of my neck ripping. My chiropractor later said it was a very near thing and that it was close to breaking my neck. I moved out that day. I ran into him a couple of occasions, and he later told me he'd moved out of the apartment because after that he could no longer go into the bedroom. He said there was a force there that was so malevolent towards him that he started sleeping on the couch, and later he moved. He hadn't believed in ghosts before, but he did then. Another time, I lived in an apartment in a building where a guy had drowned in the on-site gym in the hot tub. The gym was on the other side of the wall. I could often hear footsteps in the apartment. One time, I heard the front door open and close, footsteps come all the way down the hall and stopped outside my bedroom. I called out, "Door's open, come on in," because I thought it was my roommate. Nothing. I opened the door. No one was in the apartment. We had a top floor apartment, so it's not possible that I was hearing footsteps from a neighboring apartment. I had a job working at a local steel supply house that had once had a guy killed on site from some sort of injury. The place was rumored to be haunted, and several people there claimed to have seen the ghost. I hadn't noticed anything odd until they gave me the closing shift, where I had to stay later than anyone else and lock up and set the alarm. At first, all I noticed was a door would be open that had just been closed, but I would never see it move. But one time, pulling out of the parking lot, I saw the curtains in one of the offices move as a ghostly form pushed them aside and stood in the window to watch me leave. I saw the ghost that time, and only that time, and that was just fine with me.